Let's jump right in the passage of Mark, 8th chapter, in the 14th verse. It says here, but the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. It says they had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And how many of y'all know that is cause for alarm, especially if you're thinking about it? But just let me draw the backdrop. This passage comes from off of the miracle where Jesus had just fed thousands with just a few loaves of bread. And now he's going to the other side, and the disciples are with him, and they're saying, oh man, we forgot to bring bread. 15th verse, it says, as they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Now let me just break something down here. He was warning them. He says, I don't want you to get the mindset. Yeast here, meaning in King James Version, actually converts it to, you know, yeast or... I'm going to be fine. Yeast or... I'm going to be... Or leaven. You know how sometimes you try not to laugh and you want to laugh at the devil. He's the devil. You're just so defeated. You're so defeated. Go and just give God praise one more time. Hallelujah. Watch out and beware of the yeast or leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. And what does that mean? That means that they have a way of influencing your situation and the way you think. And I don't want that influence to be one of the Pharisees, which is religion, or one of Herod, which is a political influence. So it's important that we recognize that you can be influenced, and this influence can really take you places that you don't really even want to go. But if you focus on the yeast of the religious individuals, or the yeast or of the Pharisees or Herod or the political factions, you can get yourself off and you can think in a certain way. And God says, I want you to think like me. I want you to walk in the very anointing that I have. I want you to see things like I see them, not like the world sees them. And sometimes we get caught up because we only see what we see from someone else and what they fed us, but we've got to be careful not to allow that to change our viewpoint of who God is and what God can do in this last hour. Can I get a good amen in the house? So here's what he says in the next verse. 16th verse. He says, at this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. And when I look at this passage, you know, I can see the disciples saying, man, Jesus is talking about yeast and leaven. And man, we forgot to bring the bread. You didn't bring any bread? No, I didn't bring any bread. You didn't bring any bread, man? Man, now he's going to be mad at us. And the next verse says, and Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said to them, help me read it, why are you arguing about having no bread? In other words, you're missing the whole point. I'm not talking about bread. I'm not talking about that kind of bread. I'm talking about leaven being influenced with the world. Have you ever talked to somebody who's like saying, duh, you don't get it? And then he says, don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? Next verse. He says, you have, help me out, eyes. Can't you see? You have ears. He says, don't you remember anything at all? I want to take a subject today. And I ask that you pray with me as we share from our hearts. The subject is simply this. I'm beginning to get it. Witness to a neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm starting to get it. One more, and they may say, what are you talking about? Let them know, I'm starting to get it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for opening doors. Thank you for opening our understanding. Thank you for making a way today. Thank you for your rich presence. And God, thank you that you're not done yet. For you who've begun a good work in us, you're faithful to complete it. So we honor you right now. And thank you, God, for all that you've done and for what you're going to do. I speak into somebody's life today, God, because someone came with their cup out, ready to receive. Someone came like the woman with the issue of blood. So, Father, I thank you, God, that that issue be healed in Jesus' name. Father, even before someone lays hands, I thank you that there's such an anointing in this house. Strongholds are broken in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we praise you in advance for your supernatural involvement in our service. Now, bless him all over the house because he's worthy. And in Jesus' name, we ask and count it done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I bless him today because he's such an awesome God. When I look at this passage, it causes me to think of several things. And one of the things that causes me to think about is the fact that God is trying to reveal something to the body of Christ. And it's up to us to open our understanding, our will, to hear what he is saying. That's why the scripture says in many occasions, that we should hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the Spirit is speaking even sometimes when we're not listening. And I took the subject that I'm starting to get it, because sometimes we can live life and not get it. Can I get a good amen in the house? Man, we can live life and think that it's about one thing, and then we open our eyes and understanding later on in life, we say, man, I spent all my time working on something that really don't matter in the scope of eternity. Can I get a witness in the house? So therefore, even in life, even in marriage, sometimes I don't forget it. Let me just give you my illustration, or my, if you will, story is that, you know, even in marriage, the first part of the marriage, I really didn't get it. You know, I thought it was all about me, you know. Anybody else in the house, you thought it was about you? Men in the house? It's only two or three. But I really thought it was about me. And then, man, later on, and the babies came, and man, it wasn't about me anymore. And man, I still got to live. And man, I mean, all kind of stuff happened. And then I still wasn't getting. Sometimes she would come to me and say, do you know what day it is? I'm thinking like, Then she said, it's our anniversary. Oh, man. You don't get it, do you, Jerry Wayne? Then, other time, thank God for you, Jita, and it's a wonderful time to enter, too. I think of the times that you know, she walked in front of me and said, do you notice anything different? And you know how sometimes you know you're supposed to know, but you don't know? And you start scratching your head and say, okay, Lord, help me with this one right now because I really don't know. So, you lost weight. That's nice, but no. Oh, it's not our anniversary because we already missed that one. Then you begin to think, and then sometimes, folks, we just don't get it. And she tells me, honey, sometimes you just don't get it. One particular time, and I'm moving on, is that she actually, when she was going through one of the changes of life, and I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be all right. I don't know what to do but be real. And I didn't understand. And she was like saying, honey, grab my face like this. Look at me and listen. Even if it doesn't make sense, you listen. And I'm thinking like, why am I listening if it don't make sense? But moving on. And I think just like we sometimes don't get it, I think sometimes God, too, is trying to tell us something. And we just don't get it. That's my first point. Could God be trying to tell us something and we sometimes just don't get it? Just a question. Has God been trying to speak to you lately? Sometimes he'll wake you up early in the morning and you say, I just can't sleep. I'm tired. Would you ever think about he's trying to whisper in your ear? You've been so busy during the day, now you ain't got nowhere to go, and I want to talk to you. So, God, can you wait till the morning? You're going to be busy in the morning. Could God be trying to tell us something, and we sometimes just don't get it? I've been trying to tell, you know, you raise children, you try to tell your children something, and sometimes they don't get it. Can I get a witness? You know, they borrow some money from you, and, you know, $500, and then they come back next week and say, oh, no, you don't get it. You just don't get it. You got A students, and then you have some D students. And then the D students tell A, well, you just smart. A student tells a D student, no, you don't understand. You got to study. You got to take your book home. You got to turn your assignment in on time. You just don't get it. Can I move on? When I think about this passage, and Jesus has been trying to impart something into the children, his children or his disciples, and he sometimes called them children, he says, you've been with me all this time. He says, can I remind you, and this is the next verse of Mark 18, I think it's the 19th verse. He says, I just want to remind you of something. He says, when I fed 5,000, I fed 5,000 with five loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up? Sometimes we just have to remember, right? He just has to call us to remember, hey, you just left me doing a miracle, and now you're worried about not having enough bread. I want to let you know that when I fed 5,000, and you was right here, you saw it. How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards? They said, what's up, Peter? James, tell me what's up. Oh, I think there was like 12 baskets. 12, Jesus. Yeah, you said right. And then he says, and when I fed 4,000 and with seven loaves, I'm giving you these times, I fed 4,000 men with seven loaves. How many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up, disciples? They looked at you and said, well, you say, Peter, John, did you count them? There was seven leftovers. Can I let you know, sometimes you got to do the math. And sometimes the math don't add up. And then he says to them, Mark 8:21 blows me away. He says, don't you understand yet? He asked them. In other words, don't you get it? When I'm with you, regardless of what the situation is, I know how to turn it around to where I can make your few into much. I can feed supernaturally. You gotta understand that with me, when I'm with you, it goes beyond the math. Someone's in a situation right now, and you're looking, well, how am I going to pay all these bills with this little bit of money I have? Can I let you know that if God is with you, it goes beyond your math situation? Someone's in a situation there, well, you don't know what the doctor says. How many times have he healed you? How many times have he opened doors? How many times have he made a way in your life? How many times have he done it? If he did it once, he'll do it again. Can I get a good amen in the house? You've got to recognize, don't you understand? Don't you get it? Ask one more neighbor, don't you get it? Y'all quiet in this house? He said, I'm trying to get it. Hallelujah. Look at this next verse, I look at it and it makes me recognize that God is speaking to me in this passage. I'm going to share it with you in a minute. God is speaking to me because God has taken us to a place as a church. And he's taken us to this place because we've got to recognize he's given us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and we've got to tune in to what he's saying in this hour. It makes all the difference in the world. If we listen to what he is saying, it makes the difference in our lives. He is reminding us that as long as you allow me to be God, you don't have to worry about a thing because I'm God. Are you with me today? So if I were to share a passage here or a thought here that would make you think of the thing that he's trying to communicate to us, it would simply be this. He would probably tell me, and this is what I've been hearing, he is saying, you don't have to worry or fear because I am with you. You know, that's one of the things he constantly tells me. You don't have to worry or fear, Jerry Wayne. Why are you worrying about bread? Have I always supplied for you? He says, if I've always supplied, don't worry, don't worry, don't fear. Do you know that 365 times in the Bible it tells us that we don't have to fear? The angels approach Mary. You know what she says? You know, fear not. The angels approach her, say, fear not, Mary. Approaches Joseph, fear not. Why is fear and worry so prevalent? There's no worry, there's no fear in heaven. Thy will be done on earth, how? So therefore, we've got to get our minds together. We get thinking like, God, guess what? You have no lack in heaven. I don't care what things look like. I don't care what the political climate looks like. You know, I don't care who's in office. I am not fearing. I'm not worrying. I don't care how high inflation gets. As long as you're with me, I don't have to fear. Don't have to worry. Why? Because you're with me. Somebody give him a real good praise announcement if you really believe that. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Some of you all have been fearing and worrying about some things that he's like saying, wow, why are you worrying? I brought you through it before. I did it once, I'll do it again. Another thing I believe he's telling us is, you know, he says, you know, I think he's telling me this message. I know he's communicating this message. It's been a while since I'm trying to get it, but I am trying to get it. You know, he says, when I tell you don't, no, stop, it's out of a heart of love and it's for your own good. How many of y'all have heard the Lord say nope? Amen. Or stop? And then we're like, I thought you was a good God. Oh, he is a good God. 100% of the time. Can I get a witness? He's a good God 100% of the time. But the thing is that sometimes when he tells us, he knows, not sometimes, he always knows the end from the beginning. And when he tells us no, it's for a reason. And some of us think we know more than God. Say, God, you know, I know you say no, but I'm going to do this thing. And then I'm going to receive your grace later on. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've been one of those individuals. Now, let me share this. I didn't share this morning, but if every act of obedience from God releases the atmosphere of heaven, then what must disobedience release? The atmosphere of hell. Let me bring it. He dropped this into my spirit a little bit earlier today. So let me give you an example. You know, God told Jonah, go and deliver a message, a good message to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I ain't going. I'm going to go my own way. And that sounds like some people we know, right? Amen. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Can't tell me nothing. So he takes himself on to Tarshish. And when he gets there, while he's there and on the boat, the Bible tells me that, you know, a storm happened and he ended up in the water. And, you know, because they threw him in there because he knew he wasn't in God's will. And just like some of us know, when we ain't in God's will, we end up in places we ain't got no business. And while the whale swallowed him up. Am I talking about? I better look straight ahead when I'm sharing this. He's in the water and in the whale, and whales swallowed him up that God prepared. God prepared this great fish. So he went to Whale University. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says that while he was in there, and when he says, 3 days and nights, I was in the belly of what? Hell. Oh, yeah, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. I'm just letting you know, when you don't do it God's way, yeah, obedience will open up the atmosphere of heaven. How many of you know that? If you listen to God, if you do it his way, but do it your own way, you're going to end up on the couch. Hallelujah. Do it your way, you end up in jail. Am I okay today? Do it your way, you'll end up strung out and messed up. Do it your way, you'll end up broke over and over again. Do it your way if you want to. But God is only telling you, don't stop or not yet. Because he's loving you. What kind of God would it be if I allowed my babies to stick a fork in the electric socket and say, well, I love them too much to tell them no. I love them too much to say stop. No, stop. If you don't stop, I might have to grab you. Well, I'm not going to allow them to destroy their lives. And I believe right now that God is talking to us and speaking to us. And if God speaks here, it's out of a place of love. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Am I doing okay? Woo! Hallelujah in this place. So I just want you to know that that's what he's doing. Now, here's my next point. When God is speaking to us, sometimes we don't get it. But when we finally get it, heaven rejoices. Because not always do we miss it. Sometimes we get it right. And when we get it right, heaven rejoices. Here's a passage. In the book of Luke tells us the story where Jesus sent the disciples out, 72 of them, two by two. And they come back, man, they're filled up because he sends them out to do the works of the kingdom. He says, you know, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. He tells them to heal and open blinded eyes. Go forth and do this. Well, when they came back, they were so pumped up. They was amped. They was on 10. That's why I use the amplified version, because they were so amped. They came back. They was like saying, man, Peter, did you see what we did? John's like, you wasn't by yourself, dude. I was handling this too. I could see even Thomas chiming in. I know y'all call me doubting, but I wasn't doubting today. Hallelujah. We was walking in authority. They came back with a Holy Ghost swag, and they were saying, man, even demons were subject to us. Man, and I pray that one day abundant faith would operate in so much authority when we go out in the week. We come back during the week. I just can't wait to tell you what happened. The devil tried to wreck his ugly head up at our house. We took authority over it, cast him out, and we walking in unity. He tried to raise his ugly head up in my health. But I tell you right now, I'm walking in total health, and he's healed me totally. He tried to mess up my marriage, but can I get to let you know? It wouldn't work. Why? Because we got a testimony that God gave us authority over every unclean thing, and we walk in that very thing. Somebody bless God in this house. Woo! I can't wait till that day comes, and man, abundant faith be coming to church like this. So what's with y'all, man? Devil ain't running nothing around here. Ain't running nothing around here. V's up. We got victory over here. I'm serious. You can tell when people aren't walking in victory. They be like, what's wrong with you? The devil messing with me. They put a B in it. There's a V in devil, not devil. It's the devil. He messing with me. What's wrong with you? I'm going through, y'all, child. I'm going through. And they just want another sad song. Sing me the blues because that's what I want. I want everybody to just get the blues with me. But how many of you know that that's not how God intended? Your will be done on earth. How? Ain't nothing running. Devil ain't running nothing in heaven. And he shouldn't be running anything in your finances, in your health, in your relationship. Somebody give him a real good praise in this house. So Jesus was there, and the Bible says in Luke 10 and 21 that he saw him coming back. He got happy. When we operate in the authority that God has called us to operate in, there's something about that just bubbles up in Jesus' heart as well. Heaven rejoices when he sees us operating in the authority that God has intended. Look what the Bible says. In that very hour they were talking about what happened, he, being Jesus, was overjoyed and did what? So Jesus was like, hallelujah, thank you, yeah. He may have been, I'm not sure if it was like that. But he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from, relating to salvation, from who? From the, next verse, from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. In other words, the childlike and untaught. In other words, he was giving God so much glory because God, you revealed him to it. You revealed this to them and they finally got it. How many of you all have ever had a situation in your life and your child finally got it? You said, wow. They finally stopped sticking their finger in the light socket. They finally start doing their homework. Yes, little Johnny. They finally stop hanging out with the wrong crowd because bad company corrupts good morals. Are you with me today? I remember when I finally got it, one thing my mom was trying to teach me, and I was finally getting it. And I used to hang around the bad boys, and you know, believe it or not, you know, I guess it probably was one of the bad boys. Not real bad, though. But at any rate. And I used to hang out with them sometimes at church, and mom would be out there, why are you going to hang out with them? Because they're going to be talking. And one day, you know, I was back and I was talking, and my mom called me up front. She knew it was me talking because they was talking to me first, and I was just talking to them back. But she called me up there, and she popped, come here close. She said, "You've been back there talking. Didn't I tell you to shut up?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Why are you back there talking?" And then all of a sudden, she laid hands on me. And she grabbed my meat and start pinching. And all of a sudden, tears start coming down my eyes. And folks thought I was in the spirit. Ooh. And then the next Sunday, I saw those boys. Man, I went the other way. I said, "Man, uh-uh." And my mom saw it. She says, "Now you're getting it." Can I let you know that God is also? He watches us. And when we get it, he begins to glorify and rejoice and praise God. How many of you all really want to get it? You really want to get it? Come on, give him a blessing. Give him a blessing. He's that kind of good God. Thank you, Jesus. When I was going to Bible college and just trying to learn all I could, they taught me so many amazing things, but there was one area that I had to watch out for because, you know, I was young, didn't know a whole lot about Scripture, so I would be considered the childlike and the untaught. But there was one thing that they told me that, you know, the grace message was excellent, the faith message was really good, and all these other topics of learning was amazing. But there was one thing they taught me, I was like, saying, "I'm not receiving that." In fact, that's when I stopped going, because you don't want anybody, if they can't build you up, you don't want them to tear you down. Can I get a witness? If they don't feed your faith, you definitely don't want them to take faith away. And sometimes education or the well-learned can mess you up. You can be too smart to hear from God. You can be too smart, too educated to throw your hands in the air and say, "Well, he understands where I am." No, if the Bible says praise him, you need to be willing to praise him regardless of what things look like. Can I get a witness in this house? Some say, "Well, you don't know. I've got all these credentials and have this position." Man, it don't make any difference. You know, I don't want to get out of God's grace because I know too much. And he says, I'm not even, you hid it from the wise and the intelligent. Sometimes you're too intelligent to get your blessing from God. God says, "I want to bless you." And you say, "No, I can do it myself." Sometimes you've got to say, "God, your will be done. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what people think of me. I want you to be blessed because you are God." Are you with me today? Somebody give him a real good shout. Thank you, God. I was talking to one pastor, and he told me, he says, I was sharing with him a true spiritual truth, and he looked at me and said, "You know, I already know that. You know, I said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And he reminded me, he says, "I've heard that before." And I reminded him, I said, "Faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by what?" That means my ears are open to what the Spirit is saying to me today. I pray that the Spirit of wisdom comes upon us to where we're wise enough to seek God, not depend upon our human knowledge, our human intellect, our human wisdom. But we say, "God, your will be done in abundant faith." Because when we come to him like a child, like the untaught, watch him show us some things that are great and mighty, and his will be accomplished in this earth, in this place, in this hour. If you believe it, give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. They told me, I heard the music, that means it's about time to wrap up, right? They shared with me that miracles in tongues have ceased during the last apostle, has not. I was like, no, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God is raising up a group of people, a group of believers that will trust him, even when they look awkward and odd. I share this last point with you, and I pray that you receive it. And it's simply this. It says, knowing this, that God's trying to tell us something, and I'm praying right now even for this, because I don't want our church to miss this. I don't want you to be in that same place where, "I've heard that, I know this." God says, "I'm trying to speak to you today." Thank you, God. trying to speak to you now. You've got eyes, you need to open them. And the only way you'll be able to do it is if you humble yourself. Second verse says, all things have been transferred and turned over to me. This is talking by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father. Let him know that. Or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone whom the Father wishes, he reveals them to. Now, God can reveal himself to this church. I believe that he is. Next verse, 23rd verse. And then turning to his disciples, Jesus said privately, he didn't even let everybody hear it, blessed, joyful, spiritually enlightened. Thank you, God. Come here, Gary. Don't bless. It's like I'm playing Jesus right now. And this is one of the disciples. And he finally sees it. He's getting it. He's walking in the authority that God has called him to walk in. He's hearing the voice of God. Not only is he hearing it, but he's operating it. He's calling things that be not as though they were. He's operating in authority because authority is given to him, and he has all heaven's backing behind him. So he knows he's not out there by himself. And Jesus is saying, Lord, I thank you that he got it. I've been working with him, and he's got it now. He's going to walk in so much authority, so much power. He's got it now. And then the Lord leans over and says, Jesus is telling his disciples privately, I don't even want everybody to hear this, but he says, blessed, spiritually enlightened, and favored are you, because you have eyes and you can see. You have spiritual ears and you can hear. And then he goes and says, prophets and kings desire to see what you see and can't see it. They desire to hear what you hear and can't hear it. Blessed are you because you've got spiritual revelation. Can I let you know, folks, we need spiritual revelation in this last hour. Thank you, sir. Somebody bless him and give him glory. Give him praise. Come on, stand on your feet as I let you go. Let's bless him in the house, Father. I thank you, God.